In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Normally, on this day, our church would be filled with people and palm fronds. We would have processed in from the outdoors, waving them in the sounds of all glory, laud, and honor to thee, Hosanna, sing. The passion narrative which I just read would have been said in parts, with everyone having a role. We'd have stood together at the mention of Golgotha. But we're all in our quarantine today, a word which means 40 days. What a poignant irony it is that the quarantine of the world because of COVID-19 overlaps with Lent this year. As people of faith and seekers, we want to know what this all means and how to make meaning out of it. Some might ask, are we being punished? I'm sure many of us would agree that we deserve to be punished. There is certainly enough sin in the world for us to look at each other and say, yeah, that deserves judgment. Is COVID-19 a judgment on our economic inequities, our carelessness with creation, or our racism? And not just in the world generally, but in our own lives and hardened hearts. We've not loved God and our neighbor with our whole heart. We're going to admit that today in our service. Or perhaps we take the view that this virus is simply a byproduct of creation, one of the things we get when nature does its thing, like volcanoes and earthquakes. Collisions occur. Diseases occur. Are we to say that God sent them like he sent the plagues to Egypt to teach us a lesson about our sin? I don't think so, but you're free to disagree. I think we ask these questions. Is suffering a judgment? Is it natural? Because we'd prefer not to suffer at all. I would like to not have to suffer too. In fact, I spend much of my day insulating myself against it. I eat so as not to suffer hunger. I save money so as not to suffer poverty. And we certainly don't want to abide or witness what we consider to be needless suffering. We can lock out some suffering sometimes, like not building our house near an active volcano, or giving up destructive habits like alcohol and drug abuse. But sometimes our efforts to make life pain-free can go too far. We can wind up in a sanitary, isolated place, missing out on many of life's blessings, which are interwoven with our sorrows. To strive for a pain-free, sorrow-free, suffering-free life is to have no life at all. Together, we've been called up short in a collective event of suffering. Our healthcare and food supply workers are out there in risky situations. Small business owners and those who live paycheck to paycheck are in great distress, wondering when they can work again. Certainly, there are a few of us whose lives haven't changed much in a visible sense. Yet everyone, every one of us is suffering some kind of spiritual or psychosomatic overhang as we all try to process this situation and adapt to it. Adrenaline gets us through the bursts, but it's draining. We feel the darkness, even if we don't feel like we're doing very much. The suffering of Jesus today meets us in our various sufferings. We have unique solidarity with Christ right now. Like him, we have a cup to drink. For some, it's a house full of kids to juggle while working at home. Or it's facing the facts of a new economic reality on the other side of this thing. It's a cup of uncertainty about the future. And for those suffering directly from the disease, there is excruciating physical pain and sickness, which is causing many, many to die. We need a cup that refreshes too, wouldn't you say? Does Jesus' passion offer us refreshment as well as solidarity? The answer is yes, I think it does. I'm hearing stories of silver linings, strangers being nicer to each other, of families spending unexpected quality time together. I've learned about a few couples becoming engaged to get married. In time, you know what that means. Perhaps a surge of new life in the future. There is a spirit within St. John's that we're here to help each other. And people are getting online in Bible studies, in choirs, and youth confirmation classes. Several baby boomers have reportedly gotten connected online for the first time ever on Zoom meetings and Facebook. These may actually qualify as minor miracles. I'm going to have to do some checking on that. People are checking in on each other by email and by telephone. I've even had a few check in on me. It feels so good to be cared for, doesn't it? We're finding that life goes on. And life is also coming to an end for some. I've done my first online last rites this week. Sounds like it would be a ghastly, sanitary thing, doesn't it? But it was actually quite the opposite. It was a beautiful sending off of a dear spirit into eternal glory with Christ, with the extended family present. Something not possible but for technology. As a priest, the loss of the sacraments is in our normal worship life has hit me rather hard. I know many of you are suffering that as well. If the essence of sacrament is that the outward and visible sign points to an inward and invisible grace, then why might we be finding sacramentality in other places too? I suggest we expand our concept of sacramentality to include things like family meal time, not as a replacement for Holy Eucharist by any means, but an expansion of our awareness that God approaches us through many doors. Don't we need expansions and cracked windows and doors about now? I've noticed many people going outdoors, and I hope always at safe distances, walking, riding bikes, rollerblading. Many of them look like they are trying something new. I've installed a new seat swing in my front yard. We recognize in creation a visible sign of God's great creative and recreative power. That's the grace that it points to. And I've also seen the funniest video online that I think I've seen in a long time. There's a family enacting what I would call a sacrament of humor, lowercase s, by singing the theme song, One Day More, from Les Miserables. You might know the tune, but it is absolutely hilarious. Might the outward sign of laughter renew in us the inward hope that all will be well in time, and that joy cannot be killed by this disease or anything else? Christ's passion has much to inform us about our current pandemic situation. It is uncanny and a great gift that our current difficulty has occurred in Lent, so that we can closely reflect on its meaning in that context. Our faith that Jesus is God's Son allows us to see that our suffering is redeemed when we suffer with Christ. The passion of our Lord demonstrates for all time that Jesus did not come to condemn us, but went all the way to the cross in order to save us. He loves you that much. The losses we experience in life are, therefore, not the end of the road, but the seeds for larger life. Compassionate, expansive, sacramental, and hopeful life is Christ's gift to us today. When we enter prayerfully into Christ's passion, we find these abundant gifts, and they refresh us and lead us through our suffering all the way to glory.